All right, you can be seated just for a moment. But these are the folks who have been through the latest new member process, a new member class, and they're here this morning to join. So just ahead of time, won't you just welcome and say, we welcome you, we're glad God's doing this. Now, I tell you, won't you just tell us who you are? Let's go through and introduce yourself first.
Hi, my name is Kim.
Okay, Kim, welcome.
Steve.
Hey, Steve. Okay.
Kaylin.
Jennifer.
Natalie.
Ray Ingram.
Josh Sanders.
Andrea Dickerson.
Judy Garish.
Dave Garish.
Camille Gilliard.
Well, Camille, you look at your voice going there. Now, we are typically what you call a gift-based church. And by that, we mean simply this. We believe that every person that God puts in His church has a gift, every single person. And a part of what being the body of Christ is finding your gift, your place, and then functioning in it. And whether it's greeting somebody at the door, whether it's working with teens, whether it's doing administrative work, whether it's being a builder in the church who just helps with the other stuff, you know, just anything that's your gifted area. And what these guys have done, now they have started the process. They said, might we believe God wants us here? And so here's what I'm going to ask you guys. A, are you here because the worship is just incredible and Jen just does a great job? Don't say yes. I'm leading somewhere. Or because the preaching is wonderful? Josh, just don't even say anything, okay? Now here's where I'm going. Are you guys here because you honestly believe this is the place that God has put you?
Yes.
You feel Him calling you here?
Yes.
Okay. Then what we want to do is team up with you. And hopefully the day will be coming where you guys will be somewhere around this place functioning, doing whatever God has called you to do and how He's wired you to do. And I'm looking forward to that time when you lay your head down on the pillow that night and you just have this sense of, Lord, You used me. You know, somehow this thing called the body of Christ is working. I have friends, I have connection. I feel like You really have joined me to this place. And now it really does feel like I'm a part of Your body locally here at Cathedral. That's what we're praying and believing for. Y'all ready for that?
Yes.
All right, what I'm going to ask you guys to do is would you receive them into this body and do that by standing and just opening your heart and saying, we want to welcome you here and we'll be working beside you. You have a relationship with these guys. Go ahead. So let's pray together a little bit, do just what we ask Him to do. Father, thank You for these now who stand here. And they stand here obediently, believing that You've called them here to this place. And we extend the umbrella of covering of Cathedral over them and their families. We ask You for protection over them. We ask You to bless their homes. And Lord, now we ask You to just reignite their gifts and their callings. Father, would You give them really good friends in this place? Would You join them beside men and women who will help grow and help develop them? And they'll become more and more mature in what You've called them to be and do. As we lay hands on them, Lord, we bless them to belong. We bless them to belong and have a sense of Your placement in a body. I release their gifts and their callings in the name of Jesus. We thank You for them. We bless them. And we receive them in this body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome, guys.
I have a word for y'all today. Are y'all ready for this? No. Are y'all ready for this? Alrighty, this morning I have 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And it reads, love is patient, love is kind, and it does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? Amen. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen?
Good morning, everybody. We're talking about 2016 being a good year and for us to get all of it out of it that God intends for us to get. And so we've been talking about big picture items in January. Today I want to talk about maybe the biggest picture item for this year. Let me ask you about the question. If there's one thing that you get wrong this year that would have the biggest effect on you, what would that one thing be? If there's one shortcoming or sin, if there's one thing that this year you get captured in that would have the most devastating effect, what would that one thing be? Maybe it's this, found in the phrase that Jesus taught us to pray. This little phrase, forgive us of our debts as we forgive who? Our debtors. Forgive us as we... Now, so if you don't, it all stops. I wonder how many Christians live their lives, stop someplace in their lives, and they don't have any idea that God's not forgiven them. He's not forgiven them because they haven't forgiven. I just wonder how many people live. It's like it's an acceptable place that it goes. I wonder if, even if there's a compartment that started early on as a child where you just put things and unforgiveness starts to feel like it belonged and you don't even know what it is. But the life flow of God into you, something happens and the joy and the sense of fulfillment and what you hear people talk about as far as the life of God in a person and what it's like to be forgiven and to live with joy and peace and it's just not happening, but you just settle in, rote, as this is just the way Christian life is supposed to be. And have no idea that the faucet of God's life is cut off in yours. The truth of the matter is, I mean, we understand it in the financial world. Financial world is a simple rule. You create a debt and you pay. Yes. Jesus said, forgive our debtors. We know that we have debt with God. Anybody had a debt with God you couldn't pay? Yep. And so we asked God to forgive us, and God forgiven us. But there's this debt between us and other people. God forgives us, but then, I mean, it just goes across the board. Anybody had anybody just to hurt you? I remember one time Dean and I went through a hurt. It was in church. And it's what I call with Dean her virgin hurt, where all of a sudden her world of the church being a safe place and people wouldn't hurt you. And how many of you know the people in the church sometime? Yes? Anybody been hurt by church stuff? Anybody had a business deal with somebody and you trusted them and it went south and you just could not believe they did what they did? Anybody ever been jealous of you? Anybody ever hurt you in a way that blindsided you? If you would have had to take a bet, you would have bet they never would have done that. And somehow it just, there it is. This thing that happens was so tied to our relationship with God until this little two letters may be the most powerful in Scripture. Forgive us, A-S. Forgive us. Everything hinges on two letters. But see, what I'm convinced of the fact that it gets packed inside in a box, put in another box, until there's enough distance from that box until we don't recognize it for what it is anymore. We're detached from it. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 18. It happens, the setting is Simon Peter's asking, how many times should you... I mean, it sounds just like Simon Peter to ask that, doesn't it? How many times have I got to forgive, Lord? I mean, can you really get specific here? Tell me. How many times? Let's start there in verse 21. Then Simon Peter said, Lord, how often should my brother sin against me? How often should I forgive him? Up to seven times, which they got from the Old Testament. So if you were to ask the religious leaders of those days, that was the common answer. But Jesus responds to him, and he just blows the whole thing up. No, I don't say seven times. I say 70 times seven. Now, do you think that was actually a literal number Jesus was talking about? No. Because he goes on to say, therefore the kingdom of... So he's talking about kingdom stuff. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. He wanted to settle the accounts with his servants. And so when he began to settle the accounts, one brought him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay it. And his master commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment be made, and which was common in those days. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay it all. And the master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him and, say the word with me, forgave him the debt. But the servant now, he goes out, he finds a fellow servant who owes him 300 denarii and lays hands on him and took him by the throat, which is a good, good picture of unforgiveness. You remember the last time somebody, when you were right in the heat of this thing, would you have loved to grab them by the throat? Wouldn't that make you feel really good to grab them by the throat and demand, pay me what you owe me? See, unforgiveness is a debt not only do they owe you, but it's a debt you have against them. It's a judgment you're holding them to. It's what you're tying to them. Oh, you owe me something, and I want something for you. I want somebody to grab you by your throat. I want somebody to pay you back. I was talking with Macy one time when she was a teenager about something that happened. And Macy, our Macy, which is our youngest daughter, she's a black and white gal. And so I said, sweetheart, you got to leave it alone. The Bible says, don't repay evil for evil. You let it in God's hands. The Bible says, God said, I'll repay, saith the Lord. You just create distance to let God in there and take care of it. And she looks back at me. She says, so God's going to take care of it? I said, yes. She said, will he let me watch? I think you're missing my point here. So the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you. I'll pay you all. And he would not. And he went and threw him in prison until he paid the debt. Now, when the fellow servant saw what he had done, they were grieved, and they went back to the king, to the master, and told him all that had happened. Then the master, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers that he should pay all that was due him. Now look at this verse 35, which may be the scariest verse in the Bible. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, each of you, from his heart, if he does not forgive his brother of his trespasses. Context. Context, obviously, Peter has been dealing with some of the disciples, somebody else, and he's trying to figure out how many times has he got to forgive somebody. Jesus is introducing the kingdom, saying there's no limit to it. You have got to be like the king who forgave this incredible debt. Now, what's interesting about this, though, is he mentions 10,000 talents. Just for perspective, you know, Rome ruled Israel at the time. And so you had Samaria and then you had Judea. Their payment to Rome was 600 talents a year. This guy owed the king 10,000, more than the entire debt of Israel to Rome. A huge amount. So he's been forgiven this incredible, huge amount, And he goes to his buddy. He owes him a denarii, which is a cup of coffee. You get the contrast. Now, he'd been forgiven much, should love much. This guy's been forgiven for an incredible amount. And yet he holds this guy who owes him very little. Moral of the story is this. Your debt and my debt is 10,000 talents. It's more than we ever could pay. And Jesus forgave us. And what somebody does to us never will equal the moral debt that Jesus forgave for us. I don't care how severe it was. I'm not making light of what happened. But compared to the debt, sin debt, it's just a huge amount. Therefore, we have been forgiven. Therefore, we what? Forgive. Do we, or are we forgiven of 10,000 and hold somebody by the throat who needs our forgiveness? Well, it happens, and it happens subtly, as I mentioned. I was putting this lesson together, and I was sitting in my chair at my office at the house, and I was putting it together, thinking about how good this is going to be for you guys. And it just began, this box in a box in a box began to occur to me. And this living unconscious of unforgiveness and even being able to identify it as unforgiveness, how other stuff settles in and you don't know what it is. And I just got curious with me. And I said, all right, Lord, just search me. Go, I mean, is there anybody that I need to forgive? Any situation. It's like you start going through the file cabinets. You know, there it is. I said, no way. I feel like the Lord prompted me saying, pray for them. Pray good things for them. I said, no. I mean, that was my just knee-jerk reaction. I said, no. And then I felt like he said, bless them. I said, no. Then he said, what do you call that? You got it. So Lord, would you forgive me for unforgiveness? And I called him by name. I said, would you bless them? And Lord, the intent of my heart is that good things come their way. It was the start. I still didn't feel it. Is it okay to start and get there? So I started. And they're forgiven. I hope the feelings come pretty quick. But friends, it's just like this. This is nice. This is a nice wall, isn't it? Nice wall. This is really nice. This is so nice. That's just a nice wall. Until, oh, mold. Mold. You know mold will make you sick. You know some of you right now are not going to come to me after service. You're not going to shake hands with me. You're not going to come close to me. This is paint. But how many of you know something can look really good on the outside and be really damaging if you get down inside? And it takes the Holy Spirit to get down inside to really reveal something. If you would have asked me before I had that moment, I'd have been clear. But now, do you know the horror stories that I have heard over the years? I knew one man who kept the ashes of his dad. And every year on his dad's birthday, he would take a teaspoon and flush it down the commode. That's how much he hated him. you know how deeply it affects us, even beyond what we can consciously comprehend, when a dad leaves and abandons somebody? You know, what happens at a heart level? Who knows? When somebody is abused by the mama, what happens at a heart level? What goes on inside? When you're humiliated, when you're physically or emotionally or verbally abused, what cringe, what goes on inside of a defense that sets up something of even protection at one stage of the game, which is survival? And we all do it. But when does that begin to move now? And now the thing owns you. And instead of just being survival mode, now something else has happened and the mold has started to grow inside, and it moves from protection, survival, now into judgment. Understandable. Absolutely understandable. I mean, how crafty is the enemy for us to build something up to survive and then him get in there and twist it, where now it's judgment, and that judgment is unforgiveness. They've linked it now. They've got clear, so much material I ran across in doing this research. We've said it for years and had some, but there's a lot more documentation now of what happens in people who have unforgiveness. I know you're trying to eat right, and that's wonderful. I know you're cardiovascular, you're trying to take care of yourself. But there's studies that say you can do all you want to, but if you got unforgiveness, the damage it does to your physical body and to your emotional body is incredible. And that's the reason they said don't do it. 10,000 talents I have freed you of. Don't hold somebody else by the neck with that judgment. Release them so you can be released. Well, Mike, does releasing mean that it's like if we say everything? No. Now, you judge properly, friends. It never should have happened. It was as wrong as you say it is wrong. You were violated as much as you said it was. It is true. But now you have to take that and slide it over on the cross and slide it over on Jesus and release that judgment, and you let him take care of it. You release her. Release him. Mike, you know how devastating it was. Do you understand what it's like for a husband to be unfaithful and do this? And it is as bad as you say it is. And it's not making it okay. It's just bringing a release, friends, from you and from me. It's obeying exactly what it says. I forgive you as you forgive them. I forgive you as you forgive them. I died on the cross and got rid of your 10,000 talents. Now, release them. Let them go. Mike, does it happen in phases? I mentioned that, yes. Today may be a decision for you, and it may be a start. And it may be another level where I had dealt with this situation at a certain level. And it may go deeper later on, but today may be a start for you. But this year, if the enemy can get you locked down in unforgiveness and let it, if it's there, continue, then this year your connection with God would not develop or grow or change, because he can't forgive you. And I don't know about you, but I need to ask him for forgiveness every once in a while. Anybody else here? And I need him to be able to say, yes, okay, I'm going to forgive you, Mike. What I don't need is him to say, can't do it today. Turn him loose. You got him by the throat, Mike. And I can't release you until you release them. Now, here's what we're going to do. Guest service folks are going to come, and they're going to have two crosses over here and have two crosses over here. In the balcony, you're going to have your own cross. And what I want to invite you to do is I want you to come, those of you who feel so prompted, and whatever that thing is, or whoever that person is, I want you to leave it today on the cross. I want you to walk up and well, Mike, I don't want to put my wife's name down there. I understand that. But you can use code. I forgive her. Nobody knows her maiden name. Or you can just write a word. I'm leaving the abuse here today. You can just write a word. Rape. Leave it right there. Put the letters for physical abuse. Just put the letters if somebody verbally abused. Put the letters if somebody abandoned. Just put a big A. Whatever it is, it communicates. Because friends, let me tell you, we have some wonderful counselors in this church, some great folks. I refer people, one of them's over here right now, Donna Kingsbury. She's just a great counselor. Refer people to her all the time. She and her husband are in counseling. Both of them do counseling. But the cross of Jesus is the most powerful, delivering thing on planet Earth. And when he said forgive, it wasn't lightly. When he said forgive, he paid the price that allows freedom to come. When he was on the cross, he said, I forgive them. He wouldn't let it stick to him. And I don't know of any stronger thing that I could give you for freedom than this cross. Now what they're also setting up is they're setting up communion tables. And what I'm going to ask you to do is after you put whatever is on the cross you want to put, when you walk up, they're going to start handing out these pens down the line. They'll hand them 10 people deep, whatever. So 3 or 4 folks can come up and be writing at the same time. So just write it there. And after you're finished writing, I want you to pick up your elements and go to your seat. And then I want you to be free to take communion by yourself with your family. Husbands, you can serve your wives, serve your children if they happen to be with you. It could be a good family moment if you want to, or you can just do it by yourself. But we're not going to do it from the stage, so you're going to be free just to take it at will whenever you want to. So take the elements, go back to your seat. And it may be that what God did for you by putting this thing on the cross, you seal that now with the blood and with his body. Okay? So we're going to worship together. And I'm going to just ask you if you'd begin to come. And they're going to have the elements out here. And just begin to come and let them serve you. All right, everybody, just look up at the cross. Would you stretch your hands toward the cross? Would you stretch it? Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm leaving it here. It's yours. I forgive. I release in the name of Jesus. I place this situation under your blood. I am free in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Now, we got a drama for you to just help get ready to send you out. So have a seat if you would. But let me say this to you. Go ahead and have a seat, and I want you to look back up here. Let me have your full attention. I just told you a situation with me that, as far as I was concerned, I released this person. And yet, at a deeper level, the Lord brought it up, and I had more release to do. For some of you, there's going to be a total release from this service. Miracles happen. I don't want to diminish those at all. Some of you will be set free from some incredible things, and God, the healing power of God, is just done. You're going to be free. Others of you, there's a start, and you have started this year. And if you need to take further steps, friends, let me encourage you to do so. Let this year be the year that you start walking and just walk it out in freedom. If you need somebody to talk to, that's your next step. Give us a call. If you need somebody professional, we can help get you there as well. But just keep the journey going, because you and I have been forgiven of much, and therefore we can forgive much. Take a look at this drama before we let you go.
Anybody home?
Come on in, Elise.
Okay.
Andy called. He's running a few minutes late.
Figures.
Yeah, his replacement showed up late for work, so you guys going to the library again tonight?
Yeah, our paper's due on Friday. I'll be so glad to have it finished.
Can I get you something to drink?
No, thanks. I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
So how you liking Harper?
It's okay, but I really liked the junior college I went to in Florida. It was so nice, and I had a lot of friends. Hmm. But my parents wouldn't let me stay there.
Oh, why not?
Well, we just moved here in May. I guess they wanted me to come with them to help them adjust. It's not fair. They gotta let go of me sometime.
It's hard to do.
I know. But I've been with them almost 19 years. Most marriages don't last that long.
So you're saying you want a divorce?
A separation would be fine.
Were you born in Florida?
I lived there my whole life.
Well, let me tell you, you are in for a treat. There's nothing like a Charleston spring.
That'll be nice. In Florida, there's only one season, hot. Oh, this was on your front door.
Oh, I'm not expecting any.
What's wrong? Who's Jason?
My son.
But I thought Andy was an only child.
Jason died 6 years ago.
Oh, I'm really sorry, Mrs. Hollander. How old was he?
He was 15. He was hit by a car on his bike. He died two days later.
Oh. Was it a drunk driver?
Yes. How did you know?
No wonder Andy wanted to do our paper on that. What do you think it is?
I don't know. It looks like something from the insurance company. Dear Jason, happy birthday in advance. Since you're turning 21, you'll no longer be covered under your parents' policy. I'll be calling soon to discuss the possibility of purchasing your insurance from us. In the meantime, please accept this highway safety kit as our free gift.
I'm so sorry.
I'm home. Hey, Elise, sorry I'm late.
A package came for Jason. Why didn't you tell me about your brother?
I don't know.
Well, what happened to the guy who hit him? Did he walk away from it?
Yeah, he did.
Figures. Killing a 15-year-old kid and walking away. That's so unfair.
Would it have been better if he'd been killed too?
Yeah, I think it would. Somehow I think it would. Your brother was killed because some low-life idiot got drunk. Well, what happened to the guy? I hope he got life.
No, he didn't go to prison.
What? Why?
They didn't press charges.
Your parents let him walk free?
Not exactly.
Not exactly.
He was just a lonely kid with a lot of problems, all right?
Well, what happened to him?
Well, they were going to press charges. Until they saw him in court. They saw he was just a sad and lonely and messed up kid. And they forgave him.
Wow.
Well, that's not all. They got to know him. Really know him. And eventually they fell in love with this kid. And they adopted him.
Wait, your parents...
I never knew Jason. He's not my brother. I'm the drunk driver. The low-life idiot.
I don't understand. Your parents adopted you?
Yeah. They adopted me. So I'm gonna go check on her. Can you just give me a minute?
Anybody been down that road, figured out it won't work? Mm-hmm. And now you're glad you got the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just help frame this thing for you. There's a price that's been paid for you and me, and it was God's Son. So anything you come up against and you think, well, I don't know, the price was His Son, and He paid it for you and He paid it for me, so He can handle whatever you bring His way. Yes? Yes, all right. Guest service folks are coming. We can receive the offering. And let me just, as you prepare for your offering, let me just again bless you. This year, we're believing for it's going to be a financially good year for you. And so we bless you as you give. your tithes, your offerings. In Jesus' name, amen. Tika Pierce, would you give her a hand as she comes to the stage? All right, Tika, let's before they go, let's tell them a story about you, and you didn't have any idea that anything was in your heart and discovered something was there in regarding to your mom.
I sure did. I attended a women's conference, or retreat, and at that retreat, Pastor Mike spoke about offense and asked for anybody that needed prayer to come up front. I stood there because I didn't need prayer. I was a little prideful about that. But God showed up and said, "You're the one offended, Tika." And so I walked up there without a clue of why I was there, but I went. And he showed me that I really did have something to forgive and something to work on. It wasn't a quick journey. It commenced over about a year, and I'm sure it's still going on. But I just never had a relationship with my mom and really had to go back and peel away a lot of stuff from childhood, you know, that left me feeling unworthy and not measuring up to what everybody thought I should be. But I did work on it, and I took it to the cross, and I laid it there because it really wasn't between me and my mom. It was between me and God. And I really had to forgive myself for carrying that for so long, dragging it along everywhere I went. But
can we take a pause right here?
Yes.
Which I think is a very good word. Is anybody here, who you need to forgive the biggest is yourself? Right now, in Jesus' name, yes. I just minister to you forgiveness for yourself and a release for you. Right now, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I think you just ought to give a hand. Somebody needed that desperately. Thank you. Okay, so the Lord freed you. Tell them what you saw. I think that's a neat image of how the result of Him freeing you.
Okay. Well, in my mind's eye, I saw a glass case, and I had worn what looked like a Girl Scout sash that you put badges on, and I had a badge for every hurt that had happened. And I could go back and touch them, and when I touched them, I came right back up with that anger, came right back with that shameful feeling that I had. God told me to put it in that case, closed it up. I could still see it. It happened, but I didn't have to touch it anymore. I could leave it right there for Him. And when I did, He told me something really special. He said, "Girl, I got this." My God's kind of hip.
Thank you, Tika, so much. Very good. Let's stand together. Let's stand, everybody. That's a good word for you. All right, everybody who came up for the cross, God would say, "I got this. Just leave it with me, okay?" Now, Lord, bless you or keep you. And I just bless you with a great week. But before you leave, would you just say this out loud with me? Lord Jesus, I am leaving it here. I am free. Free indeed. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Have a great week.